What's up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Going to be joined by co-host Wes Goldberg in just a minute. The Dubs lose again to the New Orleans Pelicans, are in the midst of their longest losing streak since 2012. Injury updates, which feels like a daily thing, and a playoff roster. How could one be built? It's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. The Dubs lose again, this time to the Pelicans to kick off a four-game road trip, and it was ugly. There's no doubt about that. Let's bring in co-host Wes Goldberg, who was there. Wes, what's up, man? You were there for another Warriors loss. I believe it's the longest losing streak since 2012 for the Dubs. I don't think there's any revelations going to be had, but, I mean, what can you tell me from being there in New Orleans last night?
Well, this was the one opportunity – really on the schedule, or maybe I shouldn't say the one opportunity, the best opportunity on the schedule for the Warriors to actually get a win and break what is now a 7-game losing streak. I mean, of all the teams in the league, there's only one team that has more players listed as either doubtful or out, doubtful, questionable, or out, more than the Warriors. So that's the New Orleans Pelicans. But fortunately for the Pelicans, they had their starting backcourt still in place with Drew Holiday and J.J. Redick,
yep.
And they dominated the game. And that was basically the story. I mean, the Warriors won. Real starter Draymond Green had a tough night. The Pelicans' real starters had a good night, and I gave them the edge.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. They still had one professional scorer, one, you know, damn near perennial all-star in Drew Holiday. And when I say that, I mean he's almost an all-star every year. Not that he's made a ton of all-star teams, but still, right. that was the main difference. They had two starters, two pros, to where two professional scorers where the Warriors – didn't have any. You know, got to give some love to Eric Paschal, who is the only rookie so far this year to have two 30-point games, 30 points or more in multiple games. But again, it's, you know, it's another loss and another tough loss for a Warriors team that is now 2-12 on the season. You know, you can do the cliche of, you know, well, they fought till the end or whatever, but you know, when you're getting paid to play a sport, I kind of expect you to do that. So not a lot of bright spots in this one.
I mean, I think the only bright spot really would be Eric Paschal, right? Another 30-point performance from him. He's really emerged as the go-to scorer for this team, which pretty much tells you exactly how this season has gone.
Mm-hmm.
Not to take anything away from Paschal, but nobody would have expected that, you know, entering this season. That's completely out of left field, but he's done a really good job. So if you're looking for a bright spot anywhere, I guess it's that, you know, Paschal, what do you go, 10 for 18 or something like that?
10 for 17, yeah.
10 for 17. He could be taking more shots,
yeah.
Right? I mean, he scored 30 points on 17 shots, and he was pretty efficient. And he's largely been pretty efficient all season long. He's had a couple of outlier games, but imagine if he put up 28 shots, 30 shots,
right.
If he went out and just had a D'Angelo Russell type of usage rating. I don't know if that's his game. I don't know if that would make him any better, but it's something that this team probably will start exploring because Steve Kerr, even after the game, said they've got to find even more creative ways to get him the ball. And Draymond Green was saying that he doesn't even know how to really play basketball yet, but he's just scoring like this off of sheer talent. So, like, imagine what it'll be like when he does know how to play basketball when Kerr does develop more interesting ways and sets to build around his talent. So maybe that's the positive.
I mean, the box scores are great, but just for the future of him and his future with the Warriors, you know, I just didn't think he had this offense to his game at all, you know, much less to have it, you know, what, three or like a month into his NBA career. It's definitely the bright spot, but, you know, we've talked about it before. Like, it's continually the bright spot, and it's almost getting annoying as far as this team is concerned. I mean, I would also throw Kai Bowman in there, who had himself another nice game. 8 of 16, 3 of 7 from 3, 19 points, 4 assists. And we're going to talk about D'Angelo Russell's injury in just a minute. But I wanted to ask you, like, I think Kai Bowman is part of this team, that you're going to try and keep him around regardless of the two-way contract or whatever. Once his 45 days runs up, which he's about just over a third of those, I'd say, once that runs out, you're keeping him around. You're figuring out how to keep him, whether it's trade or cut Marquise Chris or whatever. Are you on that same page with me, or is it more he's getting an opportunity that other rookies don't get?
I think it's going to be between him and Damian Lee for a roster spot, but they're going to have to figure out a way to keep him. Maybe it is just waiving Marquise Chris. Maybe it's making a trade down the line, but I don't really know which one of these bodies that they could afford to lose, especially, you know, one more injury can make another position a little bit more shallow. So best case scenario is they start getting some guys back and you don't use up all these 45 days, but that doesn't seem to be the case anytime soon. So you're probably going to have to figure out a way to keep either one of Bowman or Damian Lee. Maybe it's Bowman at this point, but again, it just sort of, it depends on how many guys you have injured at which position.
And it's not to say that once those 45 days run out, that all of a sudden he's just not a part of the Warriors. They still have his rights. He just wouldn't be able to play for the NBA squad. He'd be playing in the G League for the rest of the season. The Rockets did it with Daniel House last year in a weird situation. So it's not that they would lose him, but obviously I would think with what he's shown, if you want to keep him around, he would be developing better up in the NBA, which is another thing I wanted to ask you. Like, it's great these young guys are getting all this time, but...
Wait, can I stop you for a second?
Yeah, yeah.
You're about to ask me about Jordan Poole, aren't you?
No, you know what? I'm not. I was just going to try and avoid it completely because
okay,
it's
mind.
Been tough. But, I mean, do you have some Jordan? You got a Jordan Poole take?
No.
No, okay.
Nope.
No, that's why I wasn't going to ask, because I don't have one either. But as far as rookies getting all this time, is it better for them right now that they're just getting opportunities, or does it hurt their development a little bit that they're getting these opportunities without Steph and Clay and D'Angelo and Draymond's back now, but that it's, you know, at what point is it diminishing returns when you're not out there with the guys that are going to be out there regularly?
I think it's helpful overall. I do think you make a good point where, how much of what they're learning is going to translate to what this team is going to look like when everybody's healthy. But then again, how many of these guys are going to actually be on the team or even playing like real minutes when this team is healthy too? So I think just getting to know the NBA and understanding the pace of the game and just how to execute at the professional level, that's going to be helpful. And that's going to translate into whichever situation they're in. So I think overall it's helpful. Now, if we talk about Jordan Poole, which we're not talking about Jordan Poole.
I think there are diminishing
returns with his playing time, but we're not talking about him.
Exactly. Good call. Good point. That's your Jordan Poole take.
That's right.
So we're going to talk about D'Angelo Russell's injury and some other injuries that have happened. I hate the fact that it's almost a regular segment, but that's just the way the season's going. So I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. Wes, I guess the latest news that came out before this game was, and I guess it's good news, D'Angelo Russell, was it a sprain in his hand? The good news is he's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks. And when it happened, I think maybe we're still just feeling the aftershock of Steph's injury. But I was worried about what the outcome would be. And at the very least, it looks like he'll be back pretty soon playing for the Warriors again. But I guess that's the good news. The bad news is they're without D'Angelo Russell for at least two more weeks.
The good news is that of all the broken hands so far this year, he has the least serious one. So
yeah,
that's the good news.
Yes.
This could have been a lot worse. So given that it's probably only about a 2 week timeline, the team seems pretty optimistic that he'll be back pretty quickly after that 2 week timeline. We're talking about a 7 or 8 game absence. So, I mean, again, could be a lot worse, especially when you compare it to some of these other injuries.
Absolutely. And I hate to, I'm going to stop prefacing it soon because this is just the reality of the Warriors. But immediately I thought, if he's out for a long time, that hurts his trade value. And again, we don't know whether he'll be traded or not, etc. But that was my immediate reaction. It wasn't what's going to happen on the court. It was the fact that if he misses, you know, if it was same as Steph and he's out for 3 months, that would hurt his trade value. But the fact he'll be out there in a couple weeks, at least he'll be able to continue to put out a large number of games on tape and, you know, keep putting up good numbers and maybe drive up that trade value or just be a perfect fit for the Warriors. Either one, I'll take at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that's kind of concerning with D'Angelo is the second injury he's already had, right? I mean, he's had the ankle sprain, it's the hand, and, you know, both of them were contact injuries, so you don't want to make too much out of them. But it's still a little concerning that he's already had two injuries for a guy who's pretty much been durable for the most part for his career. I know he had that one injury a couple of years ago, that first year he had in Brooklyn. But again, it's just a little concerning.
Yeah, you know, the pessimist or whatever, the tank adjacent professor that I am, makes me wonder, like, could he have played through either of these? And I don't think the hand, he could have. The ankle, I don't know. You know, we didn't get as much info on the ankle. But one of the good things that did happen was there was another hand injury to Eric Paschal. But, you know, as we know, he played through it and he's fine. So that, I mean, it's good just because they're running out of bodies, really. You know, the two-way contracts are drying up. And if everyone keeps going down, you're going to be down to what's the minimum? You need eight, I think, at least to play a game, right?
You need eight players, and that's actually I'm glad you brought that up because the Warriors are in a situation where, you know, in a typical season like this, where a team just keeps losing player after player after player, you could apply for something called the hardship exception, where if you have three or more players, but if you have several players who are going to be out for a sustained amount of time, a team can actually apply for this exception and get an extra roster spot. So a team is allowed 15 roster spots, right? You could get a 16th spot and maybe even more to just fill out your roster and be able to field eight or nine guys to just have a complete basketball team for a game. In the Warriors situation, however, they're hard capped. So even if, and they already only have 14 players under the 15-player maximum. So even if they were to apply for this hardship exception, it wouldn't apply to them because, number one, they already have the available roster spot, and the hardship exception is to get a new roster spot, not to get extra money. And even if they were to have – they have an available spot and they can't fill it because they're hard capped. They can't even afford a minimum contract under the salary cap right now. So this situation that they're in, injury-wise and cap-wise, is unprecedented. I talked to a few different capologists that I know, and I like, have you ever seen a situation like this? Like, no, this is essentially unprecedented. This is unprecedented territory. We don't know what they would do. One of those capologists told me, and this is just conjecture, complete speculation, but he thought that maybe the Warriors could go to the league office and just ask for like a one-time exception, not something in the rule book, nothing like that, but just, hey, this is our situation. We don't have enough players to actually play basketball games. And it's not to that point yet, but let's say two more guys hurt their hamstrings. It could get to that point really quick. And so maybe there's a situation where they have to work with the league office. I know that this is something that the Warriors front office is looking into, that they are not necessarily talking to the league office, but they're at least looking at their options because that's part of their job. They have to know if you know, Kevon or if Eric Paschal and Draymond Green go down tomorrow, what do we do to make the league minimum? What is our plan and how can we act immediately? Because there's not a whole lot of time to do so.
Yeah. I mean, one thing we've seen is even if a guy's injured, you make him active, but you only play a certain number of players. Like, Portland, it was a completely different situation, but in their last game of the season last year, they only played six players, was basically resting everyone else, but they had eight active, but only six of them played. And I know that's not something the Warriors want to do, but if the league is, you know, it gives them zero wiggle room, which is what the hard cap basically does, you know, that might be a situation they're faced with. Before the season started, I didn't want to say their, you know, biggest enemy or biggest threat this year was the hard cap, but man, that thing is, there's just no wiggle room. There's no options outside of deal with it for a year and stay under this number.
Yeah, I mean, this is like it's put them in a bind. I mean, it's put them in a bind where they have to literally lean on two-way guys in a situation where teams normally wouldn't. Like, this is, again, unprecedented situation, really, really tough.
People have asked, can they sign a minimum player? It's like, no, this is literally all they can do. As long as they stay under this number, they can do whatever they can, but it has to be under this number. And they're, what, you know, a couple hundred thousand away from it, I think. So there's literally nothing they can do until mid-March, I think, when the prorated minimum would fit under the hard cap. So,
and by then, who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That might be how they get Kai Bowman or Damian Lee up there towards the end of the year or something like that. But well, another banner night in New Orleans for the Doves. I want to talk about playoff rosters, and it's not the way you think. It's I thought it was pretty funny, at least, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, use your basketball knowledge to prove that you have what it takes at mybookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That is promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and mybookie will match your first deposit up to 50%. Listen on the go. If you can't visit MyBookie right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Wes, so we all know that the Dubs are not making the playoffs this year, along with a number of other teams. But, you know, I think the biggest surprise of who we can definitively say will not be making the playoffs is the Golden State Warriors. And I was talking to a friend of mine who is a Kings fan, and they're dealing with some injuries and a down season as well. And he said, out of all of the healthy players on the Kings and Warriors right now, could they put together an all-star team? Or not an all-star team, excuse me, a playoff team. And I said, you know, probably not. But the one I wanted to get to was tonight, because I mean, the answer is definitely no, but I just wanted to go through who they had on each team as far as potentially putting together a playoff team. Draymond, Eric Paschal, Glenn Robinson, Willie Cauley-Stein, Alec Burks, Marquise Chriss, Amari Spellman, Kai Bowman, Jordan Poole. And then on the other end, it was Drew Holiday, J.J. Redick, Etuan Moore, Kenrick Williams, Jackson Hayes, Nicola Melli, Z Cheatham, I don't know his first name, Jay Gray, don't know his first name, and Nikhil Alexander-Walker. So I think we can both agree that that's a negative, right?
Well, wait, what do you got? You got Drew Holiday and J.J. Redick as your backcourt. And this is only healthy players, obviously.
Yeah,
but,
exactly. All the injured players are we're imagining are still injured.
So Brandon Ingram doesn't count because he was a scratch tonight. Okay. Okay, so you've got that backcourt, and then what? You've got
Draymond at the
Paschal,
four.
Draymond, yeah. Who plays small forward? I don't.
Glenn Robinson.
And then, yeah, Glenn Robinson, and then yeah, probably not. That's probably not a playoff.
Maybe in the East, but part of the reason why I asked is because if you went with the injured players in this game, the ones that missed this game, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, you would start Brandon Ingram at the three. You could put Zion Williamson at the four, Derek Favors at the five. You have D'Angelo Russell coming off the bench, Kevon Looney coming off the bench. Frank Jackson.
J.J. Redick coming off the bench.
Yeah, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart. These are all the guys that missed. That's pretty much a championship team. So in a game, you know, 3 weeks into the season, it's just crazy to see all these guys missing and then to see the guys that actually played tonight. And, you know, I think just the lucky part is this wasn't one of the many national televised games for the Dubs that we continue to see headlined by Eric Paschal.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where this team is. I mean, it's kind of funny that both of these teams are in the situation, because the Pelicans, a lot of people thought that they were a playoff roster when they were healthy without combining them with Warriors players. So it was kind of interesting being at the arena Sunday night and kind of talking not only with the Warriors but you know, the Pelicans too. And I even asked Steve, I was like, have you talked to Alvin Gentry about this, because you guys are in the same situation basically, and obviously Steve and Alvin are very, very close friends. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, they did. He wouldn't go into specifics about what they were talking about, but they basically, you know, he did admit that, like, yeah, they texted a little bit, you know, Sunday morning about the whole situation and whatever, but it is, you know, it kind of feels like right now that these two coaches, these two organizations, you know, the Warriors coming off of these five straight finals and having a roster, knowing the players that they have can still compete for Western Conference championships, right? They could still compete, be competitors in the West. And then for the Pelicans, they're also in a holding pattern, kind of coming from the other side, having been bad for so long and building this great roster after the Anthony Davis trade and getting Zion, still not even seeing Zion. Like, both teams are strangely in this holding pattern, and they both, you know, they've got to wait.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you said it. Quick look ahead. Dubs are taking on the Grizzlies Tuesday, back-to-back Dallas Wednesday, and then Utah on Friday to wrap up this road trip. They've lost seven straight. So what do you think, Wes? Does this losing streak get to 10, or do they get a win over these next three?
I said coming into the road trip, they're going to win either in New Orleans or in Memphis. Memphis is next. They lost New Orleans. I think they break the streak in Memphis.
I'll take it. There you go. Take that to your bookies, ladies and gentlemen. Tell them Wes Goldberg sent you. On, man. Well, we will talk again tomorrow. Preview that win at Memphis. And, you know, maybe some good injury news or just more injury news. Who knows, man?
No, nothing's going to. Oh, actually, they're going to practice Monday. So who knows? Yeah, somebody can break their leg in practice.
Yeah, we'll see. The way the season's going, probably. All right, man. Well, we'll talk to you tomorrow. And thank you guys so much for listening to Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.